Book of Ephesians, and I will start from verse 25. As remember last time, verse 24, we stopped on verse 24 and how Apostle Paul said to put on a new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And I asked you a question. What comes first or in priority was? Is it holiness or righteousness? And remember that question. And I said, what comes first? Holiness comes first. Then comes righteousness. And I said, the reason for that is if you are not holy, you cannot be righteous. Holiness has to do with what? The first part of the commandments, 10 commandments. Holiness has to do with God, your vertical relationship with God. That is holiness. You've got to be holy. That is God. And here righteousness had to do with the second part of the commandment, with your fellow man. And with that note, we will continue and you will see how that is true. And if you see here, the only holiness that we have and the only righteousness we have is the holiness of Christ Jesus and His righteousness that is imputed to us, that is being credited to us. And verse 25 says, therefore, because of that, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Now he goes on to say, be angry, do not sin, and let the sun go down in your anger, give no opportunity to the devil. And goes on to say, these are all has to do with the horizontal side. Okay? So it's what I said last week, it goes along with it. Alright? Holiness before God, righteousness before men. So the topic that I will give today is give no opportunity to the devil. Give no opportunity to the devil. So Paul goes on to say, verse 25, therefore having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Truthful with our neighbors, means we got to be sincere, be honest. Not one face in the church, another face in the home. Not one face in the church, another face in the world. But we got to be sincere, be truthful. We need to be honest, be one another. Now remember, before we came to Christ, we were untruthful in a sense, we were unrighteous. Why we were unrighteous? Because we had a corrupt heart. Our heart was totally depraved. Out of depravity comes what? Lies, untruth, unrighteousness, all these things comes from because of the corrupt heart. In the same way, now we are holy, we are righteous. And out of that new heart that God has given us, you know, there is this righteousness. Apostle is speaking here, therefore having put away falsehood, let one of you speak the truth, for we are members of one another. So this righteousness we have is called the head of all doctrine. As what Calvin said, because out of this righteousness of the new heart flows all godliness. Flows all godliness. Just like the depraved heart, out of that heart flows all sinfulness. With a new heart of righteousness will flow all godliness. So every kind of deceit and hypocrisy is out of place as we are members of one another. Now verse 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now anger is something that is, you know, it's basically the apostle is quoting the Old Testament here. I'm going to get into the Old Testament. I'm going to show you how important the Old Testament for us today. Apostle is quoting Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. Starting from verse 2. Starting from verse 2. It says, O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Verse 4 says, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. The Hebrew word here for angry is regas. It signifies something that is really agitated. And you can see when the sea, when it is calm, suddenly when there's a hurricane coming, the sea becomes agitated, angry, roaring. It's the same word here that is being agitated by anger. Or also, the same word regas has to do with tremble. Some people, when they get angry, they tremble. They cannot control themselves. So there's an idea of trembling here with anger. And here we see Apostle is telling not to be like a madman. In the world, people get angry for just for nothing. But not to get angry, because when you get angry, what happens is you rush to sin fearlessly. You have absolutely no fear of God and you rush to sin. So Paul is saying here, do not sin in your anger. We all get angry. That's natural for us to get angry. There's a righteous anger too. Jesus got angry, but that was a righteous anger. God gets angry. That's a righteous anger. We are talking here, we can all get angry. Alright? It's okay to get angry, but do not sin in your anger. Now when you're, why is it that people get angry? Why is it that people get angry? Because somebody gets angry when that person is offended. Offended by somebody else and they get hurt and wounded. Naturally, when somebody is wounded and offended, there's an anger that will come. Paul is saying, do not sin in your anger. Do not sin in your anger. Best way to do is to keep your mouth shut. Keep silent, as the psalmist said. So, and pray so that you will not get into sin. If not, what's going to happen, the result is your anger will extend into bad results. And there will be fights, quarrels, could be violence, and all, even murder. And, so do not let the sun go down in your anger. Do not go to sleep with your anger. But sleep, having a peace with God. So do nothing when you're angry. Then you will have, if you don't sin when you get angry, then you have less to undo. Meaning, if you really get angry, have a quarrel, and have a big fight, you got a lot of things to undo. You know what I mean? It's going to take time. A lot of things to undo. But if you have less, when you have less to undo, that's what it is. So, when you're angry, don't sin in your anger. Let me quote Spurgeon. He said, quote, do not say, I cannot help having a bad temper. I know a lot of people say, well, that's me. Okay? I got a bad fuse, so I can't help it. Have you heard that? That's the way I am. I'm Irish. So some people say. I'm German, I got German blood. You know, some people say, oh well, I get angry, that's my nature, can't help it, that's me. Of course, the Bible says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. The old things have passed away, behold, the new has come. So Spurgeon said, do not say, I cannot help having a bad temper. And he went on to say, friend, you must help it. Pray God to help you to overcome it at once. For either you must kill it or it will kill you. You cannot carry a bad temper into heaven. So these things are very important. A lot of times we just let it pass by. But these are Christian living. These are things that we need to take very seriously. It's not a big thing, you know, let it pass by. But those things, when you have what anger has to do with relationships. Relationships. Remember, your first relationship is with the Lord. Then when you get married, you got somebody else having a totally different character, totally different personality, do things what you don't like, say things what you don't like, and live the way you opposite of character, and eat things that you don't like. You got to deal with it. And these are relationships. When you go to work, you will find a boss you may not like the way you look like, or your personality, or your co-workers. So when you try to witness to people, these relationship comes everywhere. And as Christians, we need to be sober-minded, cool-headed. We need to be different than the world. So that's so important that, you know, not to give an opportunity to the devil. Now, the next verse goes along with it. Verse 27. Says here, verse 27, and give no opportunity to the devil. There you go. The anger leads one sin to another sin. Give no opportunity to the devil. The devil is waiting for an opportunity. He is like a roaring lion. He's waiting to devour somebody. As Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour somebody. You know, remember the devil. He's more cunning than the wisest man who ever lived on the earth. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, they say the wisest man who ever lived on the earth wrote the book of Proverbs is Solomon. But the devil is more wiser than Solomon, as he trapped Solomon into sin. The devil is more stronger than the strongest man who lived on the face of the earth. Who was the most strongest man who ever lived on the face of the earth? Samson. Strongest man. But how soon he fatally wounded Samson. The man after God's own heart was King David. But how even King David fell into the trap of the devil. You see, he is cunning, he is powerful, he is deceitful. You know, yes, the devil is like a roaring lion, yet he is called an angel of light. Satan can shave you with a thousand of razors without you knowing it. That's how cunning he is. That's how you don't even feel it. Sometimes we take these words, anger and things like that, you know, that's not okay, and I can handle that. But when situations come, when pressure hits you, when difficulties come, that's where That's where, you know, how your Christian life should shine. Now, let us see some examples in the Old Testament. How the topic today is give no opportunity to the devil. And let us see some examples in the Old Testament how some people gave some just a little small opportunities and how it became a disaster. Now, you know, the Old Testament is so, so important to us. Let us take an example in the Old Testament. Remember Dina? Some of you look at me. Dina, who is that? Dina is the granddaughter of Jacob, the daughter of Leah. And Dina wanted to just go out and check out the other women. She said, let's go and check out the ungodly women, the other women, the worldly women. Now that was her idea. Where God has told no, no, no. Not to be entangled with the heathen. But she said, let me go and check them out. At that, she opened the door for the devil. And you can see at the end, there was a massacre that happened. The door was just open to the devil. She just gave a little bit inch to the devil. But the devil is called a serpent. You know, the serpent is very slippery. Even a little bit inch can get in through the door. And the devil took the opportunity, and the rest of the story, you know, what happened. Of course, you know the story. Hamer, the Hivite, he was the prince of the Hivites. How he liked Dina. Of course, Dina wanted to see the other women, but here, she got into liking this man, and this man liked her. And he was a heathen, he was a Hivite, the Haman. But you know the story how the sons of Jacob got to know about this. And they were mad. But here, one sin leads to another. So what happened was, the sons of Jacob, they got into the flesh too. As what did they do? They lied. They lied saying, if you only be circumcised, we will give your sister. That's a lie. One sin leads to another sin. If you only be circumcised, we will give our sister to you. So they got circumcised and they said, whoa, we can have peace with them. We can have, you know, we can intermarry each other. But on the third day, when they were sore after circumcision, only, you know, the men, of course, they were all sore. What happened? Jacob's sons, Levi and Simeon came and kill all the males. You know the story in the book of Genesis chapter 34. And just one woman opened the door to the devil, gave an opportunity to the devil. Just let's go and check out the other women in the other land, other women, you know, the worldly women. How it brought immorality as she laid with him, as she laid with this man. It brought lies and it brought murder. One thing leads one after the other. There was a massacre. Also, everybody knows this story. One woman, Eve, giving the opportunity to the devil. Of course, Adam is immoral. Just like he brought sin to the whole world. Now, it's so important that you need to go to the Old Testament. I really encourage everybody to study the Old Testament. Because today, in the churches, they really don't get into the Old Testament. I remember the story, somebody said, ask me, give me a Bible. And somebody said, you know, I have a Bible, and gave a Bible, but it was the New Testament. So the Bible, even the Bible is regarded only as the New Testament. He said, this is half the Bible. I want a Bible. A Bible is not only the New Testament, but the Old Testament. Why is it these stories are written in the Old Testament? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 11. Happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages have come. So everything what is in the Old Testament is written down for our instruction. So we don't have to go through what happened with Dinah and Jacob's sons, and you know, these are for our instructions. So we learn these things, take it to our heart. So when somebody gives like an older man, like a dad or a pastor, telling somebody, son, learn these things. I have gone through this. I have experienced this, but I don't want to go through this. Alright? In the same way, the Old Testament is like that. But how many times we are so hard-hearted? Even somebody says, I don't want you to go that way. I have experienced it, but still they want to do it themselves. That's why the Old Testament is so important for us to read these stories. Also, remember the war between the house of David and the house of Saul. After Saul died, there was a long war that went on. And house of Saul, the chief commander was who? Abner. And the house of David, the chief commander, was Joab. There was a bitterness between these two. And I'll tell you, Abner made a terrible mistake. The mistake he did was he did not yield to David. Even David was anointed. Abner, what he did was he made Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, the king of Israel. And you can see the whole story in 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole story. Whole chapter 2 and chapter 3, you will see the story. But let me give you a little example of what happened here. Giving an opportunity to the devil. The chief commander's army of David's army was who? Joab, as I told you. Abner and Joab, they hated each other's guts. One day, Abner and his men went to Gibeon, and also Joab and his men went to Gibeon, and there was a pool. So, on one side of the pool sat Abner's men, and the other side of the pool sat Joab's men. Now you can see these two people, they hate each other. One side you see Abner's men, the other side you see Joab's men. What do you think? What's going to happen? Tell you. I'm sure between the Bible doesn't say what they were talking. I'm sure between the lines in the Bible, maybe they were ridiculing each other. Maybe between the lines, they were making fun at each other. Then Abner said, I'm sure they got into the flesh. Abner said, let's the young men arise and compete with us. And Joab said, let them arise. And there was a fierce battle, and that was the beginning of a long war between the house of David and the house of Saul. Now, Here we see Abner, he gave an opportunity to the devil. He did not want David to become king. He was angry. You can see how anger leads to one to another and even to war. He chose his way, his pride, that he wanted to do his way, and there was anger and bitterness that turned into a war. So the story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 2. And I also keep on reading chapter 3, and you see the whole story. So I kind of put it in a nutshell here, so you can understand. Alright? So, as I said, in the Old Testament, you can learn a lot. Lot of things. So important to us. Remember Cain and Abel. Cain became very angry that he murdered his own brother. God told him that sin is crouching at the door. The Hebrew word is, it's like a demon crouching outside of the door. The devil is waiting for an opportunity. So now the whole thing here is for us to get a whole lesson out of this. Alright? What's the lesson we can get out of this? When we are focused on the Word of God, the main thing, number one thing is to get focused in the Word of God. When we are focused on the Word of God, naturally the next thing is the meditation. That will come automatically. Because if you have a love for God, and if you have a passion for God, and if you have a love for His Word, the next thing naturally is the meditation on the Word of God. When you have the meditation, then the next thing is automatically or the naturally is the Word becomes the light, gives direction for your life. That's natural. Meaning that you will do the will of God. Now if you are not in the Word, then we are opening the door to the devil. We cannot led by the Spirit of God if we are not in the Word of God. Then we are led by our flesh. The result is, when we are led by the flesh, it's very pleasing whatever we do, because it pleases our flesh and comforts our flesh. But it can be hazardous, can be very dangerous to our soul. Remember, it's God's Word that brought salvation to us, and how much more we need the Word of God to continue living, and how can we neglect the Word of God if that Word of God brought salvation to us. So, when you are in the Word, then you are committed to the Lord. When you are committed to the Lord, you become busy for the Lord. So, when you are in the Word, you are committed to the Lord. When you are in the Lord, you become busy for the Lord. When you are busy for the Lord, there is no room for the devil. Dina was not busy. She said, let's go and check it out. Remember, there was a time when everybody was busy at war, except David. He had kind of an idle time. Idle time, the devil loves the idle time. And he will use his bait, and many have fallen into his trap when you have idle time. And here we see David was not busy. And he fell for the devil's trap as David went the window on Saul. Bathsheba. The devil was crouching at the door, and King David's mind, of course, it built temptation, and there was what? Adultery, murder, and every kind of sin. So, Don't be idle. You can be idle, but the powers of darkness and their demons are busy. When you're idle, they are busy. Remember that. When you're sleeping, Satan will be sowing. That's why we need to be busy in God's service. Because if you're idle in Christ's work, then you're active in the devil's work. There are so many loiterers and spectators, but very few laborers. Everybody who is loitering around in the church all want to be spectators, but nobody wants to serve. Nobody wants to labor. Nobody wants to be a diligent worker. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. We need to be diligent in this wicked generation, in this wicked world. We need to be diligent for the service of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 said, 2 Peter 1:10 says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. You will never fall. Be sure that your election is sure and your calling is sure. Be sure about it. And if you practice, there comes the word practice of these things, then you will never fall. So that's the important things of it, what we have learned today. And remember, there are a lot of stories in the Old Testament. Okay? I took just a few stories here and there, but there are so many stories. You can take these and put it into your life. And so you don't follow the same path. That's why I really encourage you to get into the Word, read the Word. You know, a lot of times you get in from the book of, you know, in the New Testament, from Matthew, Mark, John, and get a little bit, you know, Romans, Corinthians, and so forth like that. And you think, well, I read the Bible. No, you did. A lot of times you get into the book of Genesis and say, oh, I like Genesis. Then you get into, wow, that's pretty good. Then you get into Exodus, you know, you get into Numbers, you get into Deuteronomy, then you get to Leviticus and say, oh, no. You see all the knobs and the doorposts and, you know, all the curtains, and you say, oh, you know, I don't get it, you know. So you could give up right away. You don't read the balance. But I'll tell you, God put these things so that we will diligently seek after those things more, even the doorposts and the curtains and things like that. You wonder and you get into more, and then you will treasure those things. And all these things points to Christ. And so important. Sometimes the Lord takes us through a flat valley, beautiful grass. And we can eat the Word of God as if nothing. God so loved the world, He gave His Son. Whoa, that's a real flat valley. But sometimes He takes us into hills, sometimes into valleys. Sometimes it's difficult to find the grass, and we have to find it, look for it. See, the Word of God, it's our spiritual food. And sometimes the spiritual food, we don't get it all the way through. Sometimes, just like a sheep, very hard to find grass. So we got to really search for it, look for it. Why is it like that? How come He didn't give us just a flat land with all grass, beautiful greenery? You can eat right away. Why? Because God wants us to become mature, strong Christian. He is educating us here on earth. Right? We got a heaven. And we got to be strong here. How can you be strong if everything is flat? How come God brings sometimes trials, difficulties, hardships? Now our flesh doesn't like it. We hate it. But it's good for us. That's the one that brings us stronger. We become strong in the Lord. And sometimes we fall. We sin flatly. That shows us, man, I couldn't do it on my own flesh. I couldn't do it on my own strength. And when that happened, we look to God and we ask for mercy. And we see God, we ask for forgiveness. And we see how powerless we are and powerful He is. So these are very important things that we need to take into our heart, to account in our lifestyle. I was going to read two more scriptures, but as time is running out, let's pray. Father, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for the time You have given us, that we can come to Your Word and we can really study and we can see how powerful Your Word is, and all what is written in the Old Testament, they were real things. They were not just stories or fairy tales that we can read to our children before they go to bed, but it is for our instruction. It is for us. Father, we will take these things seriously to our hearts, that we would treasure the Word of God better than all the gold and the money that can give. Cause us to understand the treasure of the Word of God, how powerful this Word of God is, and how valuable this Word of God is, the value in the Word of God. Now we need to understand the precious death of Jesus Christ. Cause us to understand that shed His blood for our sins, Lord. No money can forgive us. No doctor can cure sin, Lord, but You took the guilt away, and that You paid the price. And Lord, that You forgave us, and You imputed Your righteousness, Your holiness to our unworthy sinners like us, Lord. And cause us to love You with the bottom of our hearts, Lord. And with everything what we have, Lord, cause us to love You. And Lord God Almighty, cause our minds, our hearts, and everything what we have, Lord, be consecrated to You, Lord, for Your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand.